Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of a great three-part interview with a good friend of our ministry. We invited Tom Donnan back on the program today. Every time Tom comes on, we end up talking about relevant end-time prophecy things that are happening right now in this world. And folks, today is not going to disappoint you either. I mean, we have a wide range of topics to talk about. We're talking all about COVID-19, of course, but we're talking also about, you know, the shortage of supplies and you know, all these things, the vaccine mandates. We're covering all these things that is impacting Americans everywhere right now. Supply chain problems, the increased cost of gasoline and everything else. Folks, there is no doubt that this impacts us today. But let's jump now right back into this interview with Tom Donnan.
Let's shift gears a little bit because, we talked about, the large number of ships off California coast, unable to come into port and offload their cargo because of the virus, the shutdowns and all that. And have you seen the recent news that even if they get offloaded, now there's not enough trucks to deliver the cargo to the intended recipient stores? Many of these cargo containers are being stored in neighborhoods now. Man, imagine living, 2-3 miles down the road, and you're all along the road is these stacks of cargo containers because there's no room for them in the port now. And this is crazy, it's absolutely nuts.
Well, these neighbors were up in arms because they couldn't get out of their driveways. No, and this street happened to be wide enough to where there could be a center lane. So they just started parking these trailers right down the middle of the street. And then I saw another video where they were saying, well, listen, you guys are only stacking them up too high in these remote areas that you are now using. He said, but you could really help out if you did it like 5 and 6 high, to get more containers there. So they're running out of room because the ships don't want to take containers back empty. Mm-hmm. We are not producing any products, another unforeseen thing from the pandemic. And so now they're scrambling to try to figure out how this is going to work. And addition to that, now they're having trucking problems. That was another one that I listened to just before we started the recording. And there was this guy that was in the trucking industry. This was off of Economic Ninja. He was talking to this gentleman, and he said, normally when a truck broke down, and with the people that he works with, there may be 15 trucks ahead of them to be repaired. He said, now there's 100 trucks in front of them because there's no parts, there's no people, qualified technicians, there's no people to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so between those two, now you have this huge backlog, and that's affecting moving goods and containers and all that type of thing. Yep. That's another thing that you couldn't see coming down the road.
Yeah. Amen. And, the shipping containers off the ports, the boats not being able to come in, the government is now saying, well, we're going to put the military or the transportation specialist from the military there to help get all these things offloaded. And now there's nowhere to put them. That's just amazing. And then they say, well, we'll have the military drive the trucks. Military are not commercial truck drivers. I was licensed to drive a truck, right? That does not make me qualified to haul, a 65-foot container truck.
Well, you saw that one video, right?
Which one?
Where one of the trucks lost control of the container, and it fell on a car in the side street.
Yep. Amen.
It was a parked car. Oh, it wasn't going to be used for much after this container fell on it.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's just crazy. This whole COVID thing, I believe that the government's using it just to establish greater control over the populace. Because remember back when this thing first started, the slogan was slow the spread for 15 days. That's all, we're shutting everything down for 2 weeks, 15 days. Then it went to 30 days. Then it went to 90 days. And suddenly we're no longer interested in slowing the spread. It's all about control. You know, we were talking about building up the herd immunity. You know, people that had the virus and recovered, they wanted their blood so they'd get samples so they could figure out what it was that made them immune now and all this stuff. But not now. The left no longer wants to discuss building up a natural immunity. You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, we don't want a herd immunity, want everybody to get the vaccine so everybody has the vaccine immunity. You know, the mandates again that we were talking about.
Yes. Now that's a, well, very controversial, as you could tell. No, and the thing is that they are finding out that the vaccine, they say, may have 6 months worth of immunity to it, where the natural immunity runs pretty much a year. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they come out with the extra shots, you know, the 3, 4, and 5, you know, who knows how many shots it's going to be. But here was something that I was listening to on the Stu Peters shows, and I can't remember the doctor's name. When they were talking about it, and because now they are saying that you can mix shots, that you could take this shot and that shot. And she says they never have done that before in the history of medicines, where they say it's okay to mix and match without trials and tests.
Exactly. Just, that goes back to what we were talking about.
This really is insane. Yep. It's insane. These are people that are trusting the system, and yet they don't know the outcome. And well, a lot of people are the guinea pigs.
Yeah, that's all it is. And really, that's all medical trials are, is you have volunteers who say, go ahead and give me the shot. Usually, it's prisoners in prison for life and all this. But if they take part in so many of these trials and live, you cut some time off their prison sentence. So they're, you know, they're looking like, okay, I'm here for 25 years. But if I do, you know, one of these trials every year, they'll let me out in 12, you know, type thing, right? But they also, some of them die during the clinical trials, and, you know, well, I guess we shouldn't give them two shots of different variants here that goes into this thing, you know. But that's where a lot of their, and naturally, you know, the left is like, oh, that is terrible, you can't do that. You know, these prisoners are volunteering to do it. You know, and that's where a lot of the medical tests that have happened in this country have come from. We tested on the mice, we tested on the rats, we tested it on the dogs, we tested it on the monkeys. We need people now, you know.
And yeah,
that's where they get them. You know, the people have nothing left to lose. You know, I mean, if it works, you get time off. If it doesn't work, I'm out of here anyway. You know,
so. Well, typically they don't do it with the whole general society. General population as a test, right?
But that goes back to, we covered a couple sessions ago about, you know, the population controls that they're trying to institute. You know, China's already doing it.
You know? Well, if you've been watching any of these other videos, not on this, on the list that we have, about across the world, people are pushing back. They got these anti-vax protests that are going on in multiple countries around the world because they don't want to have this limitation, going on in their lives. It's so, of course, you saw what happened with Southwest Airlines, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen.
$75 million that company lost when they decided to do, I guess it was a protest, but some kind of way of disguising it, I guess. No. And that's not the only ones. Just Chicago police, a third of the Chicago police are saying that they're not going to take the vaccination. Now, here's an odd spin off is that Indiana is saying, hey, you guys, you want to come work? You want to come work in Indiana? You policemen from Chicago, come on over. Is that other people are starting to try to pilferage those policemen that won't take the jab. They're trying to pilferage them in other states.
Yeah. Texas did the same thing to California. You know, they said, hey, you law enforcement officers in California, come on over to Texas. We'll give you a job.
Amen.
You know, and then we just received, we'll call it a warning from the powers that be, that in addition to the resurgence of the COVID virus here and because of the winter months, I can't get off this. When you were in school, I know we're talking back in, you know, Lincoln log houses and things like that time.
That's for you.
But when you were in school, did anybody ever get the flu?
Of course.
Did they say you had to wear a mask in school to protect from the flu?
No.
But yet they're saying we need, you know, because the outrage of the, you know, parents saying you're making my kids wear masks in school and that it's, you know, proven that the virus doesn't spread by kids. Well, we're doing it because of flu season. Flu season is now. So we need to protect everyone so they don't get the flu, and the masks will do that. We've never in the history, as far back as I go, I know you go farther back than I do, but in the history of this nation, we've never said, oh, it's flu season, everyone has to wear masks now. You know?
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
But yet, they're making this happen in the schools. You know, and it just, again, it's a power grab. You know, the parents are being told, you do not know what's best for your children. You know, and that's what's sparking a lot of this outrage.
Oh, now you're talking about what's going on in Virginia. And that's not on our outline, you know.
Not on our list, but somehow we made it there.
Yeah, what happened is that the parents were really in an uproar in one of the school board meetings in Virginia, and they were voicing their opinions very boisterously, but nonviolent. And the next thing you know, you get some kind of intervention saying that they need to investigate these people with the FBI because now they're deemed domestic terrorists because the government sees these children as theirs now. Yep. And so I was watching Bill O'Reilly, and he goes, uh-oh, they just messed up here. They crossed the line. They're not going to come back from because parents heard that. They heard that, and they say, oh, all right, now the parents are going to start responding to this, and we're seeing it happen.
I believe even Joe Biden in one of his speeches said something to the effect of, you know, the parents don't know what's best for their kids. We do.
Oh, gee.
You know, and that, you know, like red flags immediately went up in the air. You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, his press secretary is like, well, that's not exactly what he meant, you know, type thing. But he said it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. You
know? And his dementia, I mean, his cognitive ability, I mean, his, you know, when he says something, it's usually what he's thinking. So, you
know. Yeah.
But anyway, we also just received a warning from the powers that be that we're going to be facing, in some cases, a 50%+ increase in energy costs this winter. You know, it's amazing how we went from being an energy independent country, actually selling oil to other countries just a few years ago, to one that is now facing an energy crisis. And all because of a result of the socialist policies that have happened just in the span of the last year. I mean, it's amazing.
Man, oh man, you know, this is, to me, I think to myself, this is like shooting yourself in the foot, that it's self-inflicted, right? Mm-hmm. And what did past Chicago mayor say, Rahm Emanuel? Never let a good crisis go to waste. Yeah. Well, what happens when you create the crisis to be able to not let it go to waste, right? Yeah. And so now you have these shortages that are all over the place because of strife here and there. You know, Australia doesn't want to send or sell coal to China because they've ticked them off, rightly so. You know, and so now China is cutting back on their manufacturing because they can't produce enough electricity. And if you cut back on the energy resources, then that's going to be the same situation that's going to help happen elsewhere. So energy is going to increase. Products are going to increase. So now we're talking about inflation, which is already happening, even though they say that it's not bad. It is bad. And that's going to be hopefully not going to hyperinflation. But when you're printing so many trillions of dollars, I can't see how it's not going to happen. And so then how do you prepare yourself for this? And this is why we do these broadcasts, because we always come back to Jesus, which we're going to be talking about more towards the end.
Yep. Amen. You know, I remember this is, it was years ago. Let's just say years ago. And I was taking like an economics class, and it's the best explanation of inflation and supply and demand that I've ever heard. The instructor said, okay, you and I own an apple orchard. You have yours, I have mine. You know, we go up there and we bring our apples to the market and we're selling them for, you know, a bushel for a dollar, right? Say there's 30 apples in the bushel. And we're selling for a dollar. Each bushel is a dollar. A flood comes through and takes out your apple trees. Now I'm the only one. Okay. I'm going to sell it now for $5 a bushel. Right. And that works well. But then drought takes over. And now I'm only left with a couple of trees that left are producing. And now I've got one bushel of apples. That's all I have to sell to a whole town. So I just lay out individual apples and put down $1 a piece. And people are saying, you know, oh, my kids need an apple because of some health reason. So, well, I only got this one left, and this guy already said he's coming to get it. I'll give you $5 for that apple. Right? Oh, well, okay. Here, you can. So now I've established that I can get $5 per apple for my apples now. Right?
Yeah.
And someone says, well, that's not fair because I don't have the money to buy it. So the government says, well, here, we'll give you, you know, extra $100 so you can buy apples this month. And then someone else says, well, it's not fair you give him $100. They go, okay, we give everybody $100. Everybody gets $100 now. Well, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I still only have a bushel of apples. Now everybody has $100. I'm going to charge $80 an apple.
Yeah. You know?
And people are saying, well, the government gave me $100. Sure, I still got $20 left over.
You know? Yeah.
And you're still in a shortage mode, but now prices have gone way up, you know, and that's where we are at right now. You know, the government flooding with, here's all this money because you need to go spend it.
Yeah.
There's still only so many apples.
Right.
And the apple owners, they're like, shoot, this works. They gave them the money to buy my apples.
Yeah.
Price goes up.
Yeah.
Across the board. And that's what we're running into right now is, like you say, we're not there yet, but it will hit hyperinflation. I remember back in the 70s when we hit hyperinflation before, it was not fun.
No, it wasn't. No,
it was not fun.
I would spend 3 hours in the line at first thing this in the morning, line. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go get gas.
Yep.
You know, make sure that I had enough gas to get to work for the next couple of days.
Yep.
And it was odd and even license plates.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was like the 13th and your number ended in an even number. You couldn't get gas today.
Here's a new development that I heard just yesterday. And that was down in Venezuela, which we're talking about hyperinflation hit them a number of years ago. Well, what they're doing now is that they are using flakes of gold to barter for goods. So if you want a haircut, you wind up using a flake of gold. Now, I don't know how many grams they're going to require enough. But they're using these little bitty flakes in order to get goods and services now. Mm-hmm. Now, I sure hope that it doesn't get that way for us here. Yeah. No, they have that go down that road.
Yep. I remember and a story my grandfather told. He said, you know, back in the Depression, you know, they go searching through the seat cushions trying to find a nickel that may have dropped down there, you know, months or years ago so they could go buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
He said, then. One time when there's hyperinflation took over, he said, you know, you could have a wheel full barrel of dollars go down to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the two extremes, but that's where we are at. I mean, you know, $15 an hour to work at McDonald's, and McDonald's is always meant to be a $7.50 an hour as a transition type of job. It's never meant to be a career choice. You know, I'm going to be a cashier at McDonald's. That's what I want to grow up to be.
Yeah.
It was never supposed to be that way, but they're trying to make it that way. And once they establish, you know, $15 an hour for minimum wage across the board, again, I only got so many apples.
Well,
you know, if you want an apple and you're making $15 an hour, work for 1 hour, I'll give you an apple.
Yes. So let me give you an example about the way that fiat money increases or gets inflated. And that would be, it says that I had read a book and I can't remember the title of the book, but I was thinking about it. They talk about the Roman Empire. You know, what happened is that they started printing coins that were 95% silver. And then towards the end of the empire, they had 95% other metals in there and 5%. And people just said, hey, I'm not taking this anymore. Yeah. So the example would be is that my father bought a house in 1937, I believe it was, in the south side of Chicago, wasn't right at the edge. He bought this two-story brick house with plaster walls and wood floors for $9,000, right? He sold it in 67, I I think for around, let's say, $21,000. He thought that he had done a really good job. Well, about 8 years ago, that house came up for sale, and I had a friend that was in the real estate market. And so we asked him to set up an appointment so we could walk through the house. I know. But we had such a good time in there. It was absolutely amazing. The memories flooded back. Here's the problem. That same house is now being asked asking price of $240,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
So that's how what happens when money starts to get inflated. Now you need $240,000 to buy a house that's what, 60 years old, yeah. You know, and probably 7 years old, and had laborers, you know, what would you call it? Tradesmen. They had those plasterers were great. They did an awesome job. No. So that's what happens when the fiat money starts to go bad, and now they are just really throwing caution to the wind with all of this stuff. It's as if they're trying to spend as much as they can before it actually collapses so that they can get something else out of it, which yep. seems stupid to me because let's go in the other direction, right? But no, that's not what they're doing.
Yep, exactly. And you know, they're talking about the possibility that within just a couple of years, I've seen some reports say within just a couple of years, the only option that our government's going to have is say, you know what, we're just going to declare bankruptcy and start all over again. And when that happened, that's what happened in Venezuela. You know, I remember when, you know, what, 20 years ago now, I guess, when they hit all that oil boom and they said, we have so much money, every person in our country gets a guaranteed wage. You know, inflation happened. Again, you got all that money and I got a bucket of apples, right? So inflation yep. went up. And then the crisis hit and they can't buy a loaf of bread. You know, you said they're using flakes of gold to get haircuts because their money is worthless.
Worthless.
You know, declare bankruptcy. That's what's going to happen here. I mean, you know, the money that they're printing right now is going to become worthless. I mean, it's going to take you $1,001 bills to go get a haircut. You know, and then the barber's going to like, you know, he's got 25 people a day coming in, giving him $1,000 that he can't even go to the store and buy groceries with. You know,
yes.
He's going to say, no, I need the gold. We're going back to the Roman times where I want gold in order to do any transaction with this. So obviously that's what's happening in Venezuela right now. And unfortunately, that's what the good news is. The Bible says all this is going to happen anyway, just before Jesus comes back. So the good news is Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is. That is the good news. And of course, he's able to create something from nothing. And that's why we like to see him in our lives and take care of our needs, you know, as we have that crop up. Because I'll tell you what, out of the blue, out of nowhere comes these difficult problems, right? And so this is just the beginning. That is, and with the, what is it, the chain of the supply chain? Mm-hmm. No, this is just the beginning that is happening. So there's no end in sight, so to speak.
Exactly.
End
in sight. Exactly. And, you know, so not only we've covered, you know, the oil shortage, you know, China, as you said, and India, they're running out of coal. So it's not just oil,
yeah.
They're running out of coal, right? Natural gas, you know, and like I said, they've already gave us warning here in the United States, your energy costs in some cases are going to go up 54%+. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time again today. Oh, man, I tell you, every time time comes on, I just enjoy myself so much. I mean, we're so like-minded, and we look at things almost with the exact same perspective, and it is so enjoyable to have Tom share his insights and his wisdom on these things, what the Lord has been showing him. And I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. I mean, I'm praying that this is opening people's eyes, that the devil is the one behind all this. He's using politicians. The politicians are not our problem, okay? They are not the enemy. It's the devil behind them, the ones that, you know, some of them obviously have sold their soul to get political power. But, you know, that's between them, the devil, and God. And, you know, and unless they repent, well, they're getting what they deserve, okay? But the point being is, it's still not too late for everyone else. We can still pray them into the kingdom of God, pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their heart with this broadcast, open their eyes, that these politicians will repent of their sins and change from their evil ways and start to share the gospel. and focus all of their efforts on passing laws and supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ in this land. That's the only hope this nation has, or we're going under, and it's going to happen soon. But the good news is Jesus is still on the throne. Praise God. He is still King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we can trust in Him. We can trust in His Word that no matter how bad it gets in the United States of America or around the world, Jesus is still Lord. And we'll just let it go right that. Be sure you come back tomorrow and join us for part 3 in the conclusion of this great interview with Tom Don. Until then, this is Pastor Bob Irwin. Be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.